We now have the female version of Pikachu, complete with a heart-shaped tail. Did you notice Pikachu Libre is a girl?
In 43 fully produced, fully utilized minutes, Nintendo's E3 presentation, which was a pre-recorded Nintendo Direct-style streaming video, showed the rest of the industry exactly how a so-called E3 press conference or showcase should be handled. In 2018, well beyond the age of high-speed internet, and now in the age of completely ubiquitous high-speed internet on every device imaginable, there is literally no reason whatsoever to pack people into an auditorium and do things the old-fashioned way. Nintendo is the gaming industry pioneer when it comes to controlling its message and doing things its own way. Nintendo Directs are the result of that, and sometimes it works out, and other times it fails spectacularly. But this is one of those things that really showed you how it should be done. No time was wasted, there was no cringe or awkwardness, and the style of delivery was great. I wish every publisher and the other two hardware manufacturers would take note, but you know they won't. Regardless, let me reiterate, in-person E3 press conferences are a relic of another age, and there's no reason not to replicate Nintendo's approach, and Square Enix's too, to be fair. Then again, from a substantive standpoint, which is certainly what matters most, it's less clear that Nintendo accomplished what it needed to. In fact, if I were a Nintendo-centric gamer, I'd be a little concerned. There's no doubt whatsoever that the marquee title of this E3 Nintendo Direct, the much-awaited and newly announced Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, hit the spot, and has players excited. I'm super stoked about it, it looks awesome. But things seemed awfully barren otherwise, even when it comes to a new Pokemon game. If you saw my E3 strategies video posted last week, you'll note that I said Nintendo needs to keep its foot pressed firmly on the gas, while using every molecule of goodwill thrown at it since Switch's launch over a year ago. This will ensure that Switch doesn't go down the Wii route, selling huge numbers without the games or, frankly, credibility to back it up. Nintendo has earned everything it's received with this machine. They've rebounded for sure. But for Switch to continue its meteoric march, it needs games the caliber of Zelda and Mario. And let's be frank, it doesn't have those games, at least according to what we just watched. Will it matter? I don't know. But it certainly could, and that's worth discussing, especially because Nintendo is just so damn shadowy and fascinating in how it curates its first-party catalog and courts outside support when needed. By my count, Nintendo discussed 10 games outside of its indie sizzle reel, and those 10 games run the gamut from small and frankly irrelevant to about as big as it gets. A new Mario Party game, Super Mario Party, launches this October, and it seems well suited to the Switch. In fact, Switch is the console/handheld the Mario Party franchise has been waiting for like 2 decades, and obviously a new Fire Emblem game is going to have fans of that franchise excited. It looks like it brings something fresh to the long-running strategy RPG series, and as long as that something fresh doesn't end up being a stick in the spokes, I'm sure it'll work out nicely. For Nintendo these days, it always does. And hey, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is also getting some new support, so even the more niche titles are getting some much-needed E3 love. I also have to give credit to Nintendo for continuing to court meaningful third-party support this generation, which is going to be essential to Switch's long-term success. Seeing that Epic's Fortnite, an absolute gaming industry phenomenon, was coming to Switch while the phenomenon is still hot was a really fascinating and frankly key announcement during the 43-minute presentation. That it's available as we speak for Switch with no frustrating or prolonged wait is fantastic. The fact is, you must have third-party support for your hardware to truly succeed, not just to necessarily push units, but to have a vibrant ecosystem with high attach rates and a satisfied user base. A user base that has the option to play what some of the PS4/Xbox One/PC user base is also enjoying, more in the mainstream. Bethesda and Ubisoft both proved at their press conferences that Nintendo remains on their minds, and smartly so. Nintendo has to keep pursuing these games, particularly the games that don't necessarily seem at home on Nintendo hardware, just like Fortnite, and players will likely remain satisfied and engaged. Then again, it would be even cooler to see Nintendo pursue these tentpole games for day and date release, the lack of which seems to be Switch's Achilles heel. It's all well and good to have a ton of indies, for instance, but it's not all that interesting when most of these games have been on PC, Xbox One, and PS4, sometimes for years. Of course, the star of the show was undoubtedly Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, which people have been salivating for since Nintendo Switch was announced, nonetheless launched. Now, it's important to remember that Smash Bros. Just isn't the system seller people think it is. If it were, Nintendo 64, GameCube, and Wii U all would have done much better than they did. Rather, Smash speaks to a broad range of Nintendo fans, from the casual to the already Switch-owning hardcore, and it's a key ingredient in the vibrancy of their ecosystem. The same exact thing can be said about Zelda. Traditionally, Zelda games didn't really push hardware. They didn't do Mario numbers or have much gravitas outside of the hardcore, but they were key titles in Nintendo's libraries from NES on down to Switch. And when the concoction is right, when the timing is just so, when the latent and pent-up demand is there, boom, you get a Breath of the Wild, a sizzling critical and commercial success that landed at the right place at the right time with the right energy surrounding it. In that spirit, I think Smash Ultimate will be a similar game, a game that would have been meaningless to the broader market at certain times in certain places, but which will play a pivotal role in the here and now. Unfortunately, I was a bit disappointed with what's actually in Ultimate. It's very cool that they brought back every single character that ever made an appearance in the N64, GameCube, Wii, and Wii U versions of the game, even the one-offs. I super respect that, especially because Ice Climbers were my jam before they were stripped out of the series. But these types of reveals hinge on exciting character announcements and other big bursts of nerdy energy, and I'm not entirely sure Nintendo delivered the goods in this way. I must admit, I'm a bit out of the loop with Smash, so I was surprised that the Inkling was a new character. I could have sworn he/she was already in Smash as a DLC character or something. Ridley as a new character is also a little strange, especially considering the aforementioned vibrant third-party connections Nintendo has so successfully reignited in the recent couple of years. They could have, and probably should have, more readily gone to that well. But I'm not Smash's target audience anymore, so you'll have to go elsewhere to see how this announcement played with Smash purists and superfans. And of course, there has to be more characters to announce between now and December when the game launches. I, for one, am excited to play, and I like the method of the delivery and the time spent on such a humongous game. But when you boil it all down, it was padded with a lot of fluff, at least from my perspective. Smash is Smash, for many of us that's good enough. But will it add fuel to Switch's stratospheric rise? We shall see. Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, which were revealed a couple of weeks ago, were also discussed in more detail, though with certainly far less time spent on those than Smash. I think most people already know this anyway, but Reggie telegraphed this pretty well. This isn't a mainline Pokemon game, and so I'm skeptical if it's really going to matter to Switch's upward trajectory. I think it was wise not to mention that a mainline Pokemon title is coming next year, as that would have killed the flow and momentum of this rollout. But needless to say, I'm not sure this is really the Pokemon game people were truly hoping for. It seems more like a stopgap, which is fine, and I actually really dig that little peripheral Pokeball that they're releasing alongside it. But as Pokemon Go showed us, love for these little creatures is always ephemeral and always fleeting outside of the 2-decades-old core user base. One day, everyone was playing Pokemon Go, and the next day, everyone stopped. So I don't know that this is the game to get people in the door with Switch. But those that already own the hybrid hardware are probably pleased. And hey, letting the game interact with Pokemon Go is a very nice touch. Yet another smart decision Nintendo has made in a seemingly endless line of smart decisions these last few years. Notably absent from the Direct was Nintendo 3DS, the little handheld that won't say die, but it will say die if Nintendo doesn't give it more love. And maybe that's how they're engineering it. This reminds me a lot of the old three-pillar strategy Nintendo wanted to employ when DS was revealed and launched. They, for some reason, thought Nintendo DS and Game Boy Advance could live on the market together at the same time alongside GameCube, but of course they couldn't, because that makes absolutely no sense. In that same spirit, Switch's portability makes 3DS obsolete, and though I respect that there's a far bigger 3DS playing player base out there than what Switch commands, and that it's wise to keep that player base well-fed and content, tending to one at the sake of the other makes no sense, and Nintendo has to know this. So while some people are undoubtedly going to be aghast that 3DS was nowhere to be found at today's Nintendo E3 showcase, I think it's for the best. Pivot everything you've got to the Switch, Nintendo, and make that bad boy all it can be. Focus on just one thing and let the other thing quietly fall by the wayside. Ultimately, pardon the pun, I think Nintendo's E3 Direct is a sign of how the industry should handle things. Why put the fate of your company's upcoming lineup into the hands of a production crew and a live audience? Why risk it? Why not say exactly what you need to say, exactly how you need to say it, without all of the flash, annoyances, and pomp and circumstance? If I were in control of, say, PlayStation, I'd do it exactly like this, no questions asked. So that's the biggest takeaway for me personally, the style of it all. As far as the substance, though, well, I won't deny that matters far more when you're not an analyst like me, and in that respect, I think it's safe to say Nintendo was far from hitting a home run. A base hit, maybe. But is that good enough? Well, time will tell. Switch is such a beast that perhaps nothing could stand in its way, but I think Nintendo needs to do more to buff it out on the back end and make sure this thing keeps on climbing. Because the industry needs, and even requires, a healthy and vibrant Nintendo, and the Switch is a damn fine machine. So keep feeding it, Nintendo, and watch your efforts pay dividends.
I hope you enjoyed what you've seen.